St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm going to be speaking from there tonight for just a few moments, and just want God to bless us and minister to us. I want to believe God to touch and minister in a mighty way. Do remember prayer meeting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. If you don't get a chance to come to that prayer meeting, we got another chance on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock to come to prayer meeting. And I hear a lot of people talk about how they love prayer. I don't ever see them at prayer meeting. That bothers me. Because, you know, if I love to do something, you'll see me doing it. Hello? Don't get quiet on me. You know I'm telling you the truth. I love to eat. You hang around me long, you'll see me eat. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about the press and said, Who touched my clothes? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down and minister to us today with the power of your divine grace. For it is Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, Hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments on a subject I'm simply going to entitle about this little lady. I want to project to you the words in that 25th verse. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. I want to talk to you about Little Miss Nobody from Nowhere. I love this lady, but the problem I got with her is you can't do no background checks. I mean, you know, even if you get over in Matthew where he talked about the Syrophoenician woman, I could take that woman, I could tell you what her basic religion was. I could tell you most likely what her job was. I could do a little research and tell you she was most likely a pagan worshiping Baal. She most likely was a farmer because that's what most of the Phoenicians did. I could give you all that kind of stuff, but I don't know who this woman is. I don't know if she's a Gentile or a Greek. I don't know if she's a Jew or what her problem is, but she's living in a town of Capernaum, and she's there with a problem. And Jesus comes along and touches her life. And you know the great thing about God is he is a God that heals. Amen. God's nature is to heal. Hello? Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, do you really believe that Old Testament names for God give away the nature of God? In the book of Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, he ends up by saying, For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Comes from the Hebrew word Jehovah Rapha. Amen. The God that heals us. So God has always been a healing God. Amen. Some of you have heard me tell this story. I'm going to tell it again. God traced me to preach all my life. I'd run in and out of church. I'd get in church. God start talking to me about being a preacher, and I'd start talking about getting out of church. I wasn't going to be no preacher. I remember my dad and them was all, my dad never went to church. I found out he used to be a preacher. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to used to be a preacher, so I won't never be a preacher. Then I won't have to worry about it. Hello? I got saved in the Church of God at Buell. About maybe a month after I got saved, they diagnosed my mom with terminal cancer. I went down behind the barn where I prayed, and I said, Okay, God, they say you can heal. But I ain't never seen you heal nobody. Somebody said, Preacher, you don't have to pray like that. My Bible said, Prove me, saith God. He don't care if you talk to him honestly as long as you talk from your heart. I said, God, I'll cut you a deal. Heal my mama, I'll preach. Hey, some of you are trying to figure out what happened. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? You say, well, what's obvious about it? Well, my mom had cancer. She had 6 months to live. My mom passed away in December of 2005, 31 years later, and a month and a half before she died, they'd done a battery of tests. The only thing we can tell you, she's still cancer-free. All I can say is I got a God that done the work, and because of that, I kept my side of the obligation. Amen. You know, Jesus spent most of his ministry in a healing business. You know, the first text that he ever spoke from, he went to the temple and they gave him the book of Isaiah. And listen to what he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Matthew 4:23, it said Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Amen. The disciples of John came to him. If you remember, John called him the spotless Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. Now, just to let you know that even John wasn't different from us, he got in prison and prison stole his faith. And he told his disciples to go ask Jesus, is he really the Messiah or do we look for somebody else? And when they came to Jesus in the 11th chapter of Matthew, listen to what he said to them. He said, Jesus answered and said, go and show John again those things which do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now all of a sudden he said, go tell John. This is proof who I am. When they bring them to me blind, they leave seeing. When they bring them to me lame, they leave walking. When they come to me deaf, they leave hearing. When they come to me dumb, they leave talking. He said, I am who I am, not because of what I say, but the act of God that functions in me. Can I tell you, church, when we want God to be there, we got to get to that place where when people come with needs, they're going to leave with an answer. And we need to understand God is the answer. And if we can get God in their life, God can solve the problems of this world. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Now, because of his healing ministry, everywhere Jesus went, he drew crowds. Now, he's been on a trip to the other side of the lake, or the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret, whichever you want to call it. Now, I've been there, and I don't think something to see if I could stand on the north shore and see the south shore. If I can stand on the east and see the west, or stand on the west and see the east, I never got to the east side. I went up to Golden Heights, but I didn't look back down. But when you can look across it, I don't call that a sea. Now, when I get to the Atlantic and I can't see Europe, that's a big place. Hello? When I go in the Gulf of Mexico and we get out in the boat far enough, you try and look back, can't see nothing around you but water, you realize you're in a big body of water. But he got on this thing and he's been in the South Shore preaching and he heads back to Capernaum. And when he gets there, he makes it to the dock, and that dock is filled with people from every walk of life. There are rich people, poor people, fat people, skinny people. They're from all levels of society, all levels of background, and they're there for one reason. They heard Jesus was coming, and they wanted to get there. Can I tell you, I had a guy ask me one time, said, you ever been to any church growth seminars? I said, I went to one time that was really worth it. He said, what was that? I said, it was called How to Pray Effectively and Get God to Move. The 21 steps to growing a church won't work if God ain't moving while you're trying to make them work. And I want to be honest with you, church. We get God to move into this church, and I guarantee you folks will find Alabaster Church of God. Come on, church. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Any of y'all ever heard of Nauvoo Church of God? It ain't even in Nauvoo. It's in Dogtown, but when they come into Church of God 40, 30-something years ago, the overseer told them they couldn't have a Dogtown Church of God, so they named it Nauvoo. Which is a little community a few miles away. But do you realize on Sunday morning they run 200-something people because God's moving in that place, and you got people driving in from all over the place just to get to Nauvoo because God's moving? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm telling you, we ain't got to have the fanciest building and we ain't got to have the biggest sign. What we've got to have is a move of the power of God, and if God starts moving, there'll be people finding their way to this church to find the answers to their problems and to their life. Could you say amen? Jesus gets there and he gets out of the boat. Here's this big crowd, and all of a sudden the crowd parts because a certain man by the name of Jairus walks through the crowd. Now, he's a leader in the synagogue, so by dress, they know who he is. And as he strolls through, you'll find right here the greatest act of worship you'll ever find in the Bible. Jairus walks up to Jesus, kneels at his feet, and he said, "Master, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I want you to come to my house and pray for her." I know you say, "Well, preacher, why is that such a big thing?" This man's doing something a lot of our church folks and a lot of people in this world can't do. He's overriding every religious belief he's ever had. This guy's a leader of the synagogue. Y'all need to understand, to do what he's doing right now can have him stoned to death for heresy. He's got to the point where he's not worried about, "This might not be my belief." I guess the sick people said, "I'd come to your church, but I just don't believe like you do." You know, you get desperate enough, you'll quit worrying about what you believe. And you'll get hungry enough for God, you won't worry about what you got to do to get to it. Come on, church. He bad. See, Jairus done come to the point his daughter's dying. He has gotten desperate enough. He don't care about what he's always been taught. He's ready to find out what he was taught was really true and go find the guy he thinks got the answers. And right now, he ain't worried about nothing else except worshiping that guy and getting him to come to his house because daughter's dying and he needs some help. I want to tell you something, church. You get desperate enough for God, you ain't going to worry about who believes what. You're going to get in the Bible and start seeking God, and you're just going to fall in wherever you fit. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. That comes from a Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Church of God preacher. I got hungry enough for God. I didn't care what the name said on the front of the place. I just wanted some God, and I got a hold of it. Come on, church. I got news for you. I ain't backing down from it either. But notice this. Jairus is standing there. I guess the tick. We got folks. "Well, you're not my denomination." Like I ain't a big enough bill. Hello? Some of y'all missed that. We make money in denominations. Hundreds, 20s, 50s. I'm partial to those, but I'll take a 10 if there's enough of them. Hello? But I mean, I remember one time I was at camp meeting and these guys were talking about books they read. And I asked the guy, I said, "You ever read Pilgrim's Progress?" He said, "No, who wrote it?" I said, "Paul Bunyan," and I realized that's the guy that had the blue ox, and I knew I messed that up. But it was John Bunyan that wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I said, "You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? If you were in English in some of our day, you read part of it called the Canterbury Tales." You know what? He looked at me and he said, "He Church of God." I said, "The dude died long before the Church of God ever came into existence." He said, "I only read Church of God." I said, "Well, you just dumb." Now, church, I'm Church of God, but I like other writers. I mean, my Lord, I read Max Lucado. I won't ever go hear him preach again, but I love to hear him. I went to hear him preach and went to sleep. I wanted to hear him preach and went to sleep. I mean, it's embarrassing when, you know, when I tell way to go to a man's church, somebody bump you and say, "You're snoring." He's a great writer. He's not a real good speaker. He's a great writer. I mean, I read Gene Edwards. He's Church of Christ. I mean, I love that guy. I got a book called Divine Romance. Every one of y'all to get a copy of it and read it. It'll just mess you up. You'll be reading and set the book down going, "Wow." You know, it's just wonderful stuff. Amen. But I mean, I read all kind of people. Francis Frangipane. You know, I read these guys. I get stuff from them. I glean from them. I'm smart enough to understand they don't believe everything I believe. I don't believe everything they do. I chunk out some of their stuff and I keep what I like. Hello? But you know what? Jesus didn't get hung up on denomination. He didn't look at him and say, "I'm not part of your denomination." He said, "Let's go." Hello? Just the Bible said Jesus went with him. And they start down the road headed to the house. Man, things are going good. They're in that little place. Now, church, notice this. The Bible said the people begin to throng one another. What that means is they got to running into each other, bumping into you. It's kind of like we opened that door back there and said, "Tornado's coming. Go!" People be running over each other trying to get out. Well, see, Capernaum, the one thing it's noted for is the streets are real narrow. I've been there. Some of the narrowest streets in all the cities of the Middle East is in Capernaum. And now they're on the seashore trying to get down through the town. Jesus starts through there, and there's somebody in that crowd to represent everybody here tonight. There were some going because they expected something to happen. They wanted to see it. There were some others going because they figured it wasn't going to happen. They wanted to be there and go, yeah, we told you. You know what? There was a whole bunch of them just got caught up in the crowd, didn't have no choice but go. But you know what, church? The reality is they going down that street, right in the middle of the story of Jairus' daughter, we get the better story. Now, just so you'll know, when Jesus got to Jairus' house, the church folks was already there with a banana pudding and a tater salad and a ham. And church, I think if somebody passed away, we ought to help them all we can. But I wish we'd start believing in healing more than we believed in cooking. And pray for them before they die and believe God to do some healing. Come on, church. Now, I know sometimes it's just not God's will to heal people. But at the same time, it is God's will to heal some folks, and we let them go out because we don't really believe it's going to happen. Come on, church. I'm just bad as y'all. I was praying for a little boy one night, and his foot turned in my hand. I like to pass out. I'm, my God, it happened. Glory. Hello? Because I'm human. I was praying, but more when that foot turned, it got my attention. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Jairus gets there. Jesus is with him. They've already come to him while he's in the middle of this other story and said, your daughter's already dead. No need to be in a hurry. And Jesus said, only believe. They get to the house. He goes into the church. Folks said, get out. I don't want you here. He takes his three disciples with him. He knows they're real intimate with him. He said, I want y'all to go with me. He goes up to the bed, reaches down, takes the young lady by the hand, and he doesn't speak in tongues. I had a preacher one time preaching on this. He said, he spoke in tongues, raised her from the dead. He spoke in Aramaic, which is a language he knew. It's a cross between Hebrew and Arabic, and because of that, it never was translated in the Bible. So it reads like this, Talamatha Cuman, which simply means damsel arise in Aramaic. Amen. He just took her by the hand. He didn't have to say anything. He just took her by the hand. You ever been to them preachers that's got to stand and hold their nose and like they got a headache or do something before they can lay hands on you? You ever been around them guys? Oh, they got to get up there and wind up, knock you halfway through the middle of next week because they got to get God on you somehow. You got a headache? Yeah. Bam! You got one now? Boy, it's worse than it was. Oh. Well, he didn't have to do none of that stuff. He just walked upside the bed and said, little girl, get up. And the little girl got up out of the bed. He walked her down the stairs, put her hand in her daddy's hand, said, like I said, only believe. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You say, preacher, that don't happen no more. It will, because God doesn't change. That's what my Bible said. In him there is no invariableness, neither is there shadow of turning. So the same God that took that little girl out of the bed is the same God. He can lift people up in the day in which we're living. Come on, church. Amen. But now notice this, they get going down that road, and that's when we run into that little Miss Sunshine, little Miss Nobody from Nowhere. All of a sudden, it said there's a certain woman sitting on the side of the road. Matthew, Mark, Luke, none of us tell anything about her except she's there. But with a finger of faith, she touches the hem of his garment and she gets made whole. Can I tell you, church, that's what some of us need to do. We need to get so hungry for God that we don't care what people think. We just want God to bless us. And when we get that hungry, we're going to see God do something in our life. Hebrews 4:15 said, for we have not a high priest which is not or cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Acts 17:27, they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Amen. Now, church, this woman's diseased. She's desperate. I mean, she's at the place she's got to have help, but because of her faith, she finds deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something. First of all, her problem was a desperate condition. Hello? She's got a flow of blood that's been going on for 12 years. And because of that, we notice some things about this problem that makes it so desperate. Number one, it's a perpetual problem. We somehow got to the point that we believe God can only heal things that started yesterday or last week. And if we've had it for a while, well, it ain't ever going to happen. I had a lady tell me, she said, well, I've just come to the place. I believe God just wants me to die with this. Well, why didn't you just kill you to start with? I mean, there ain't no need in him letting you lay around hurting for a while. Glory. Come on, church. So what are you getting at? Look, this woman's been sick for 12 years. I want you to get that in your mind. That's 48 seasons. 4,380 days, 4,380 nights, 105,120 hours she's been dealing with this problem. This ain't something hard started yesterday, but let me show you something else. This thing's done got to the point it's locked her up. You ever notice you get a problem like that, it takes control of your life? I mean, you can break your arm and it's almost like you can't do nothing. I testify to that. Oh, amen. And some of them going, how does he know? But the truth of the matter is, we get imprisoned by the problems of our life. They control our life. They set our destiny. They tell us when we can get up, when we can go to bed. They tell us we got to go to the doctor, if we get to stay home. It gets to the point that they control every aspect of our life. And now this woman's got this problem that has become perpetual. It's come to the place she can't do anything about it. You know, church, we need to understand there are answers. There are answers to the pointless problems of life. You say, what are you talking about? Verse 27 burst through like sunshine when he read this, and he said, Jesus, amen. Somebody came to her and said, when she heard about Jesus. Oh, church, y'all ought to mark that in your Bible if you don't mind marking. That's a turning point in the whole story. I mean, here's Miss Nobody from Nowhere sitting on a street corner getting ready to kill herself, and somebody from somewhere come by and told Nobody from Nowhere there is someone who can do something about your problem. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't know who told her. They were some good candidates in the town of Capernaum, but somebody walking along that road who knew Jesus turned around to this lady and said, hey, it ain't so desperate. I got a God that can lift you up. I got a God that can heal you. You say, well, preacher, how does that apply to me? You may be that somebody that's going to pass a nobody tomorrow, that's going to hear, that needs to hear about someone, and God may give you the opportunity of your lifetime to tell that person there is an answer. There is a God that can meet your need. There is a God that can turn it around. If you just turn it over to him, he has the power to take away the pointless problems of life. Amen. I want you to notice something, church. Not only did she hear about this answer, but the Bible said not only did she hear, but she came. Church, listen, just to hear about Jesus isn't going to help you. You've got to respond to what you hear, or you're never going to get anything from God. You can quote scripture from front cover to back cover, but until you respond to what that word's saying to you, you're never going to see a change in life. Oh, but when she responded and she came to Jesus. Now, church, listen. She didn't have no easy track. She faced obstacles. First of all, there was the crowd. These people are running into one another, bumping each other. Jesus turns around, and all of a sudden, he said, who touched me? One of the disciples said, you'd be better off trying to figure out who ain't touched you. We've all bumped into you. Amen. I mean, here's this crowd working on her. Amen. Now she's also got religion. Because whether she's a Jew or an Orthodox Greek or just a bold Gentile, she doesn't believe in Jesus. She just heard about him just before he got there. Isn't that amazing? You hear about him, he shows up, give you an opportunity to respond. Glory. Amen. And now she's got that religion. But you know what? It's also timing. I don't know that God has ever really got there when I wanted him to. It's always been on his clock instead of mine. Huh? You down there, oh, God, do it now! And it ain't happened. My God, I mentioned it this morning. Do you realize Joseph had a dream that took 13 years to come to pass? He was just dumb enough to tell his brothers about it when he first had it. Glory. Now look, if I got brothers that ain't happy with me and I dream they're going to bow down in front of me, I'm not telling them that. It'll get you sold into slavery quick. But notice this, it's not good timing. I don't know how many people have passed up blessings because, well, it's Sunday morning, preacher. We don't do this on Sunday morning. We do here now. I don't know about y'all, but if God wants to move, I'm into it. I don't care if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we don't get to the class, that's okay. Oh. I'm not a program preacher. I don't have to have it laid out where we can't have a move of God. I've been to churches run revivals where they had it teed down right to the last moment, said, Stroop message, 25 minutes. I looked at the pastor and said, you dreaming? And I mean, brother, somebody get to worshiping. They didn't sing the song again. They cut it off, started another song because they wasn't going to get messed up on that timing because they had to be out by a certain time. We got God timed out so bad he can't move. They ain't no need us showing up. Come on, church. There are a lot of churches in America might as well write Ichabod over the door, because they've timed God out so bad he can't do nothing. I'm finna run down the front row and amen myself a little louder, because some of y'all looking at me like, well, preacher, you know, we got something to do tonight. I don't care if the ice cream does melt at Dairy Queen. Oh. I hope all your chickens burnt when you get there. Wherever you're going, and they cook chicken. Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We got to understand, we got to move when God's timing comes, not when we want it. Amen. When God's moving, we need to get in the flow. Amen. But notice this. She touched him. She not only came to him, she went for him, and she came in contact with him. Notice, I told you a while ago, he's going down through there, and all of a sudden he said, who touched me? And everybody said, well, we all been touching you. That's something some of y'all need to understand. Casual contact does not move God. He said, what's casual contact? When everybody's singing and you're clapping because everybody else is clapping, that's casual contact. Oh, if somebody gets to shouting and you shout with them, that's just casual contact. But if you walk through that back door with a made-up mind tonight, I'm going to touch God. I'm going to worship God. If everybody sits there like a knot on a log, I'm getting something tonight. I'm not leaving here without touching God. When you walk through that back door with that kind of mind, that is not casual contact. That is contact with a purpose. Amen. She crawled through that crowd saying, I got to get to him. He's my only answer. He's the only one. Come on, church. Some of y'all need to understand what I'm trying to tell you. Glory. This woman's been ostracized for 12 years because by law, nobody could get in contact with her. The only visitor she had once a week was the preacher. He didn't come to pray for her. He'd come to check her and then walk out in the middle of the street, hold his hands over his mouth and go, unclean, unclean. I got folks talking about, you ought to go visit your people more. I might when you ain't home. Check your garbage can, see what you're throwing away. Get Anthony to put some of them programs on the computers where I can get in them when you ain't home, find out what you've been doing. Well, I say to people, can you do that? Yeah, you can. How about call the TV cable companies and find out what you've been watching? You're saying, they can't do that. Of course they can. Why do you know? They know where to put the commercials. They know exactly where you've been, how long you stayed there, what movies you're watching. What if I got all that time to not come up next Sunday, walk up beside you, put my hand on your shoulder, going, unclean, unclean. I bet you some of them go, that preacher's nosy. Well, that's good preaching, I know. See, some of y'all sitting there say, if I had that woman's faith, I could touch him, but most of you got faith just like hers. I mean, her faith wasn't the most dynamic faith you ever saw. First of all, her faith was silent. She got healed, didn't say a word till he confronted her. She crawled back over and hid in the stuff. He confronted her, and she stood up and said, well, you know, I was with an issue of blood, and I touched you, I've been healed. Glory. And we got a lot of folks, God bless them, they just sit there. They won't share it with nobody. They never testify, never tell what God's done. After a while, God will quit blessing a person like that because he likes to bless people to let everybody know it happened. Somebody told me, he said, preacher, some of that stuff you say God did for you, I believe it's just coincidence. Who cares? He's getting credit for it anyway. Glory. Because he's in charge of my coincidences. Hello? Y'all may not understand that, but the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And if I have a coincidence in my life, he put me in the right place, the right time for that coincidence to happen. Oh. But notice this. Her faith is totally based on superstition. Church, when I study in human behavior, one thing I learned about human beings is we are a lot of times we have to self-motivate ourselves to do stuff. You ever got up and go, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I remember one time I was on a bridge trying to jump into a river. It was 80-something feet down to that water, and I was standing up there going, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I did it, but it wasn't because I could do it. I did it because I got too far out, lost my balance, and went off. Oh, once I got down and got back up, I'd done it again on purpose. Hello? I mean, I ain't never told y'all I was even-minded on stuff. Oh. But this lady totally based everything on superstition. How do you believe that? She's crawling through a crowd, getting kicked in the head, getting knocked every which way, going, if I can just touch his garment. That's what it says in Mark. In Luke, the physician, he got specific. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? That word hem comes from the Greek word prospodon, which properly translated means tassel. And you see, that's why she was under superstition. See, the Jews believe if you could touch the tassel on the prayer shawl of a priest right after prayer time, you get healed. Hello? I want to throw some stuff at you. It won't cost you nothing. You see, that tassel on that man, on that prayer shawl means things to those folks. First of all, do you realize that it's actually in a light blue, which represents the sapphire blue that the Ten Commandments were written in? Lord, amen. And those little blue tassels will be hanging down there, and you get to looking at that tassel, and you know it's got five double knots. Each one of them knots representing one of the five books of the Pentateuch, which is the books Moses wrote to begin the Bible. And they look at that going, oh, that's the books of the laws. And they say, oh my God, the Ten Commandments, the book of the laws, we got this down pat. There's seven wrappings in one clue, eight wrappings in another, 11 in another. That's the number 26 in Hebrew. That stands for God. So when they look at it, they see the word God. They look again, and they count the number of actual loops, and there's 13. That means the number one, of the word one. And so they look at that tassel, and immediately they realize what the Jews call the Shema, or the number one acknowledgement of God. Our God is one God. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I like that. I got a Father, I got a Son, I got a Holy Spirit, but they're all one God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. When they look at that tassel, begin to see how it's torn, they get to counting the different strings in between the knots, and they come to realize that the total what they got in front of them is 13 different strands, making up 600 different strings in between the knots. You put that together, that's the number 613. The number of commandments that are in the Bible. Amen. There are 365 thou shalt not, 248 thou shalt. And that is the exact number of every day except the day of Sabbath. So if you take out the Sundays, it's 248 days in a year. To the Jews, you take out Saturday. Still 248 days left. Hello? Say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? They also believe that 248 bones in the body and 365 sinewy muscles and tissue that hold them together. And when they see that, it represents the healing power of Almighty God to them. And they crawl going, if I could just touch it, oh, if I could just get there. So she's got that superstitious belief, I can just touch that tassel. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter if her faith was silent or if it's based on superstition. All that matters is it was sufficient when she touched that tassel. All the minute she came in contact with that tassel, the virtue, the very Spirit of God shot out of him into her. And notice something, it wasn't a 6-week thing, it wasn't a 6-month thing. The Bible said immediately she was made whole. I want to tell you something, church. Some of y'all need to realize tonight, my God doesn't operate on a slow timetable. When it's time for God to move, he'll move. I hope none of y'all do like a lady in Anniston done one night. I was preaching on healing and had a cast on my leg, went all the way from my hip down to my ankle. She come up that chair and she said, well, I believe you're a hypocrite. I said, why is that? She said, well, you got that cast on preaching on healing. I said, lady, what happened to me don't change the word of God. Hello? If I don't ever get healed, that don't mean God can't heal. I mean, I can die right here in front of you or something. My God's still a healing God. If that's my last breath, you know it's in the word of God. That's all I need to know. Boy. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. But notice this. She felt it. Church, if God blesses you, you ain't got to have somebody tell you when it happened. Huh? You ever had preachers pray for you? That's it, honey. That's it. You got it. If you got it, you ought to be telling him. Because when God touches you, you're going to feel it. Now, what he said to her, if you've got your Bible open, you mark that 34th verse. Well, that's an awesome verse. He's getting ready to close this thing out just like I am this sermon. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I know to some of y'all, y'all ain't thinking like I am. Some of y'all been in church all your life. You was raised in a pristine environment of religion,
but I wasn't. And I will never forget the night a drug addict alcoholic stumbled into a church to buy booze off an usher and got in an altar, and God spoke to him and said, son. And for the first time in my life, I realized I'm somebody. All of a sudden, I'm not just an outcast drug addict. I'm a member of the family. I got adopted. You said, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? This is the only place in the New Testament you will find where Jesus referred to somebody he prayed for as a member of his immediate family. This little Miss Nobody from nowhere didn't have a pedigree. He just put her in the family. He said, from now on, you're my daughter. You may be a nobody, but you're somebody now. You're the daughter of the King. Your own race. Come on, church. Some of y'all missing this. Some of y'all ought to get excited because you're not a nobody anymore. You've been adopted in by the blood where you cry, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Notice what he said. He said, go in peace. Church, some of us got erroneous belief of peace. Peace is not nothing happening. What's the use of having peace if you never have an ideal place to try it out and see if it works? I used to go up through Muscle Shoals, and before 9/11, you could go down on the big dam there in Muscle Shoals. I'm standing watching boats go through. Used to love that. That dam holds 350 million gallons of water. I used to go in there and watch them as they bring them boats in. If they bring them in from the bottom, they'd open the water and free flows in there. Then they free flow it out when they're letting the boats down. And man, I got there one day and it was letting the boat down so fast you could see the boat dropping as that water was going out. So the next day I'm back down there, I'm running revival in the area, and I go down there that morning and they're letting the boat out. And before they let it out, I got to walk across the gate, go to the other side, and stand there and watch. And this bell rings. Matter of fact, Alex was with me. And we're standing there watching. And man, everything went crazy. Because you got to realize they're fixing to let 350 million gallons of water out to the lower side of that dam through those baths that come out of that thing. And next thing you know, you see a little bubble over here, a little bubble over there, a little bubble. And next thing you know, it's total chaos. The water suddenly goes up. The reason they rung that bell was let everybody there fishing get their boats and get out before everything went into turmoil. Because if you'd been in there with a boat while that water was rolling like that, you wouldn't have stayed in it. And man, that water got to boiling out there, and it gets to running up on them little islands that was there and the rocks that was there. Next thing you know, you got cranes going this way and cranes going that way. That's those birds, not cranes you lift stuff up with. And them birds are flying everywhere. And all of a sudden, I look down, and right in the middle of all this chaos, there's one crane standing on his rock. And he ain't moving. That water's going all around there. A little water touched one of his feet, he just picked it up. We stood there and watched him as that thing settled off in the water. You know, immediately kept running until it started going back down. Almost fast it went up. Them other birds started flying in. He was sitting there looking at them like, where'd y'all go? What's y'all's problem? I said, Alex, you see that? He said, yeah, Dad, what? I said, that bird. He didn't move because he trusted the rock. He said, oh, God, it's a sermon. But church, that's what God wants you to know what real peace is. It's when total turmoil gets around you, you trust the rock and you realize I ain't got to worry because in his hands I'm going to live and move and have my being. Could you say amen? The latter part of that verse needs a little more proper translation. See, he says this, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. In the King James, in the original Greek text, it says this, go in peace and keep on continually being free. In other words, he said, he whom the Son of God hath made free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Church, can I tell you, he looked at her and said, woman, you're healed. You ain't got to worry about it. It ain't coming back tomorrow. The next week it's gone. Church, some of you tonight need something from God. If you could have the faith just to touch him tonight, you could leave here. And you can keep on continually being free. Would you stand with me all over the house?